Into each life, a little rain must fall. That's how the saying goes. Into each Christian walk must come a certain number of storms. Most people do not welcome storms that come into their lives. You may even take them as a sign that God has left you, or that you've messed up and you're being punished. Far from it. God's storms in our lives are often signs that He has sincerely begun a discipling process with us. We're going to look at that concept today in Matthew chapter 8. We'll start in verse 23, which begins with these words. Now, when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him. Last week, we talked about the difference between simply being a believer and being a disciple. All disciples are believers, but not all believers become disciples. Disciples are those who are on a learning curve with Jesus, sitting at the Master's feet, receiving teaching from him. It says here in verse 23 that his disciples followed him. That is kind of a nice segue from where we were last week. His disciples are following him. They are on the learning curve. They're going to be taught some things by Jesus. We see the beginning of this process in verse 24, where it says, "And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with waves, but he was asleep." It uses the word tempest. The literal Greek is an earthquake of the sea. That should give you some indication of the strength of the storm. Of course, when I read this, the first thought that came to mind was chicken of the sea. That's just the way my head works. But it's going to be okay. We've invited the Lord here to teach, not me. So, an earthquake of the sea. In other words, an exceptionally strong storm. It says the boat was covered with waves. That means the waves were coming over the gunwales, over the sides of the ship, and from time to time, the ship they were in would completely disappear from sight. One of the biggest tasks that Jesus has when we come to him desiring to begin that discipling process with him is to disabuse us of the notion that we are sufficient for the things we will encounter in our Christian walk. Don't you, most of the time, believe that you're sufficient? Enough prayer, enough Bible reading has made a spiritual giant out of all of us, hasn't it? And we really feel we're up to the task that comes before us. God has his work cut out for us, for himself, in convincing us that we are not sufficient for the task. In order to accomplish changing our minds about that, he will often bring a storm into our life. When the storm comes, it does not necessarily mean that God has forsaken you, or that you have left his ways and are being punished. Often, it's merely the tool by which God will get you to agree with him that you are insufficient for the task before you. The worst mistake you can make is to wrestle with God over that issue and try to hang on to the belief that you are sufficient. All of us have a certain degree of strength. But trust me on this. whatever your strength level is, God has a storm that is bigger than your level of strength. He can up the ante as much as he needs in order to convince you. These fellows in the boat with Jesus are experienced fishermen. Yet this is a storm bigger than any they have ever known. And they have known some storms. The Sea of Galilee is surrounded by hills and mountains. Not far from the town of Tiberias is a geographical feature called the Horns of Etim. Two peaks in the walls of an extinct volcano that rise about 300 feet above the Sea of Galilee. The wind funnels through those peaks, creates sort of a venturi effect, similar to what people in Angel Fire get for living in the Moreno Valley. The wind just gets sucked through that valley, and they have some tremendous storms. These guys know storms, but they've never seen one like this. God had a storm that was bigger than their strength. The disciples are on the learning curve, and they are learning a faith lesson now with Jesus. By the way, where is Jesus during all this? He's asleep. At least somebody doesn't have any trouble with this storm. That's because Jesus has the Father's word that he is going to accomplish a work upon the earth. He is going to go to a cross and going to redeem mankind. Jesus knows that until that work is accomplished, his time is not up. So this storm holds no fear for him. Because of his faith in the Father's word, he was able to sleep through the storm. They should have been able to sleep too, or at least to rest in the storm. Look at verse 18. Jesus had given a command to depart to the other side. When Mark wrote about this same event in Mark's fourth chapter, verse 35, at the precise words Jesus used, Mark 4:35 reads this way: "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, when Jesus tells you that you are going over to the other side, where are you going? You're going to the other side. There is no doubt about it. They had the word of the Lord on this thing. That should have been sufficient for them. But it wasn't. And so they cried out in verse number 25 of Matthew 8. His disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, "Lord, save us. We are perishing." They were in as little danger of perishing as anyone has ever been, because they were in the boat with Jesus. Most of us, when we find ourselves in the storm, will pray that God will remove us from the storm. But over time, I have learned the safest place to be is with Jesus. And if that involves a storm, so be it. You're never safer than when you're in the boat with Jesus. Can you look back across your life and see how in the storms of your life you have been secure as long as Jesus was with you? Can you see that now from the perspective of hindsight? It's obvious looking back. The trick is to know it when you're in the storm. They're crying out, "Lord, save us, we're perishing." But they had no cause to fear. If Jesus is in the storm with you, why would you be afraid? Some people believe that this storm was satanically raised, that it was an attempt by the devil to destroy Jesus before he could arrive at the cross and perform the work that God had set before him. If that was the case, then not only at the cross, but also here, Jesus soundly defeats Satan. No cause for fear at all. One of my favorite passages in the Bible is found in the book of Isaiah in chapter number 43. Isaiah 43:1. I have personalized it. I have removed the references to Jacob and Israel in my Bible and replaced them with my name. So in my Bible, Isaiah 43 reads this way. But now, thus says the Lord who created you, Larry, and he who formed you, O Larry, fear not, for I have redeemed you. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Larry, your Savior. I suppose Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego passed this test of faith when they stood in the fire and said, O King, our God is able to deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we're not going to worship your statue. Forget about it. Not going to happen. God's promise to me is that when I pass through the waters, he will be with me. And through the rivers, they will not overflow me. When I walk through the fire, I shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch me. That is the promise of Jesus Christ to my heart. Why should I fear any storm? With God's word and God's promise to guide me, there is no cause for fear. Back in Matthew 8, the disciples are receiving a lesson in faith. They're on the learning curve with Jesus. So many times, we pray for more faith. The disciples prayed for more faith. At one point, they cried out to Jesus and said, increase our faith. If you've ever prayed that prayer, you are in apostolic company. But you don't need to pray for more faith. You already have as much faith as you need, because unto each is given by God a measure of faith. You have received faith sufficient for every storm you will face. Jesus responded to his disciples and said, if you had a mustard seed's worth of faith, the smallest seed his disciples were aware of, he said, you would say to this mountain, be moved into the ocean, and it would be moved. It's not that we need more faith, it's that we need to act on the faith we have. We have enough. God didn't shortchange you at the beginning when he poured faith into your heart. He gave you sufficient faith. I love verse number 26. He said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? You had my word. We were going to cross to the other side. Why are you in fear? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. You've got to love that picture. Jesus stands up in the boat in the storm and speaks to the storm. He rebukes the storm. The literal Greek words that he spoke were, be thou muzzled, like speaking to a bad dog. The modern day translation would have it this way: shut up, you're scaring the kids. You have to love it when Jesus speaks to the storm in your life and says to it, shut up, be thou muzzled. He rebukes the storm. And then immediately there was a great calm. The waves became like glass. The winds became still and calm. What is there to fear? The disciples, as well as the disciples in this room today, have sufficient faith for every storm that you will find in life. You only have to exercise that faith and stand on the word that God has spoken to you. When the storm comes, it will not overflow you. When the fire comes, you won't even smell like smoke. How marvelous to be in the boat with that kind of a Jesus, with that kind of a Lord. Verse 27 says, the men marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? Do you remember when Jesus was about to ride into Jerusalem to present himself to Israel as their king? He sent for a foal, a colt, the foal of a donkey, on whom no one had ever sat. What is the usual outcome when someone sits on an animal that's never had anyone sit on it before? You're going to get off that animal very quickly. Probably not voluntarily, but you will get off. It seems like the wind and the sea obey him. Even an ass can obey him. It's only his own people who seem to resist him and have trouble believing that he is sufficient for the storms in their lives. Jesus Christ is sufficient for every storm you will ever face. The second the wind and the waves arise, the moment the fear rises in your heart, God is there with you. Jesus is with you in the storm, if you will have it. The storm is not a sign that God has left you or that you have incurred his displeasure. In fact, quite the opposite. The storm often is a sign that he has honored your request to become a true disciple, and you are now on the learning curve with Jesus, experiencing a lesson in faith. Today's the first Sunday of the month, and of course we're going to celebrate communion. This will be to our hearts another faith lesson, if you will let it be. I'm going to have the worship team come up. Let's get our hearts ready, and we'll pass these things out.